You're an original like nobody else, so why would you want to copy anybody? You are everything that you need. You're listening to Authentic Voice, the podcast, and I'm Janice McQueen, your host. Each week, I will share with you inspirational stories with people that know who they are and believe in their passion and purpose. Authenticity is the best gift you can give yourself. Begin your journey to authenticity right now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Authentic Voice. This is Janice McQueen, your host. This is the show where you can share your voice, your story, your passion, and your light. And today's guest has a real story for us. Marissa Underwood is an environmental and animal rights activist. She attended Loyola Marymount University pursuing a degree in political science. This woman is so smart. And what I love about her is she's not afraid to stand up for what she believes in. She wholeheartedly is a vegan, yet she lives and is from Montana and represented Montana in the Miss USA pageant in 2020. She was Miss Montana USA 2020, and she is an activist that's going to share her reasons behind being a vegan and why she stands up for her belief. Welcome to the show, Marissa. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm doing so well. How are you?
You know, I'm doing great, and I don't often get a fellow plant-based person, a fellow vegan here on my show, so we're going to have some great conversation in the next 30 minutes. So before we begin with talking about the heavy and all the things that you've gone through, why don't you share with our listeners a little bit more about you and your background and your history?
Like just in general in life or pageant specifically?
General in life. I would love to hear all about that. We'll touch upon the pageantry as well.
Okay. So growing up, I grew up in the country, and I was a very competitive three-day eventer, horseback rider. And I was also in Future Farmers of America in high school, which is where my animal rights side really came from, because I would go to the barn and I had these elite horses that we would give everything to. And then we would turn around and learn at school how to raise animals to die. And that was like really the fundamentals of where I started to see, you know, our food system in a really different light. And then growing up, growing older, I started to actually understand how important it was to speak out and to be an activist. And I know a lot of people, everybody nowadays says that they're an activist, right? But I think it's really cool that so many people, like we, especially with social media, have such an ability to talk about the things that we care about. And for me, I've just always cared. The things that I care about is so deep and so intense. Mm-hmm. So, I have always felt like I just needed to speak out.
No, I love that. And, you know, I think people have different purposes and different things that they do feel passionate about. And, you know, I started out as, a dietary vegan. And even though I'm not perfect, and there's been times when I've traveled, I've been more plant-based than I have been vegan, I have moved towards more of an ethical vegan. And I think that's something that not everybody understands. So do you mind defining the difference between plant-based, dietary vegan, and ethical vegan, and what that means?
Yeah. So for me, I'm an ethical vegan first. What I eat happens to reflect like my morals and ethics and how I view our relationship with animals, and that I don't believe that animals are to be used, abused, or exploited in any way. So ethical vegans not only have what today is known as a plant-based diet, and that's the really hot word, but it goes to everything like, skincare products. Are we using things that are tested on animals or not? Is our makeup vegan or cruelty-free? And there is a difference between vegan and cruelty-free in the beauty industry as well, which has a lot of kind of misrepresentation and companies trying to say that they're cruelty-free when they're not. It's things like, you know, I was a horseback rider growing up. I'm not anymore. That technically would not fall under the moniker of being vegan. And then if you are plant-based, that means that it's basically limited to your diet and nothing beyond that. And I think a lot of people confuse vegan for plant-based nowadays. And this is actually a really interesting point that we're crossing, because the new winner of Miss Universe, Andrea from Mexico, she's vegan. Yes.
I love that. I know. Yeah. I'm so excited because, you know, you're right. I didn't mean to cut you off. It's just, I was excited about that too. And, you know, I knew she was just a beautiful girl, and I could tell that she radiated something about her. And I didn't even realize until after she won that she was vegan. And of course, when I went to go follow her on social media, like we all do, but I was really glad about that, because I think anytime, not that we're here to bash anybody that's listening that does not, that you don't live a vegan lifestyle. That is not the case. What we're doing is raising the awareness of what you might have about what veganism means. And maybe it's something you want to pursue. And that's always my goal as someone who tries to live that lifestyle of an ethical vegan. And it's not easy. And I'll be the first to say that it's not an easy thing to do in this, but if you make that choice, it is something that you can very, very easily do. And I'm hoping that we get to know you, we learn about you more, but I also would love if you would share, and we can both share, some of the steps that we take to pursue being healthier, being more plant-based, being more vegan. And I think it starts with what you're talking about, advocating for animals, but also advocating for health. So I love that. And I love that. So again, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just thought it's just so cool that it is a lot of a cooler topic now. Right before we signed on and said hello to each other, I had just gotten home from work, and I quickly just had gotten a magazine in the mail, and I just opened it up because it was People Magazine, I think, because I just wanted that particular, I wanted to get that subscription because I do love reading about different things, especially now since we've been in COVID, and to hear what people have gone through. And I digress a bit, but I opened up the page, and the very first thing that I saw was Vegan Keeps Me Younger. And it was an ad in a magazine.
Cool.
I know. I was so excited. I'm going to post it on social media, you know. But what I loved about that is it showed me how much we have changed since mm-hmm. I became a vegan in 2004, when it wasn't as cool, when it was very hard to travel, it was very hard to find food. And now it's on trend. Like you said, plant-based is very on trend. And there is a difference. Plant-based is dietary and vegan is ethical. And it's fine, whatever you choose, because I think it's a path. Don't you think so? I think it's a path that we take. And once we take that first step, there's opportunity to completely go all the way. So let's go back to, yes, Miss Universe is vegan. I think that's going to be tremendous for what you and I believe. But let's talk about when you started. When did you become vegan?
Well, I was first vegetarian in my freshman year of high school. That was also my first year of FFA. And that's what really did it. And at that point, I had no understanding of what the dairy industry was or the egg industry. So for me, it was just meat is animals' bodies, and then the rest is the rest. It didn't even comprehend for me. So I was on and off vegetarian for probably 5-ish years, wavered back and forth. It was very hard. I didn't know any other vegetarians. Everyone made fun of me. Like it was very challenging. And then when I was, I'd say 21, I had really terrible acne, and I was trying to do everything that I could to get rid of it. And I read this article about how dairy is really, really bad for you and to cut it out. So I stopped consuming dairy, and I was researching all the ways to remove dairy from your diet. And I kept finding all these vegan food blogs. And then in my mind, I was like, okay, why am I not vegan? Like, I already totally aligned with all of these ethics. And it did take me about 6 months. It took a while because I would take things out like every couple of weeks, remove things in a specific time frame. And then over about 6 months, I think that was 2014, then I became fully vegan.
That's great. That's fantastic. And I fully support that. And you became vegan when it was maybe a tad bit easier than 2004. Mm-hmm. And finding sustainable food when you're out and about. People didn't understand it as much. It wasn't a topic of conversation. So I think a lot of people have really explored, like you did, that have been sort of had the opportunity to learn more about the dairy industry. And, you know, I come from North Carolina, so I know what it's like. It's a farm farm area and you grow up and you don't really understand it until you do. And again, nothing against anybody else. My goal is to always encourage people. If you could just do 1 or 2 days per week, if you could be more mindful about what you eat, it becomes a health issue. If you have too much protein, it's not good for you. Plus, it's obviously not good for the animals. We don't want to go there, but I mean, we do want to go there, but you know, eventually, but I think it's something that you evolve over time. And I'm so glad that you've evolved to that and you understand it. And that you love animals. I grew up having grandparents that had a farm, and we raised animals for, or they raised animals for, like the eggs, the chickens for the eggs. And and you think, oh, that's okay. And when it's farm raised and you're doing it yourself and you only have a few chickens, I can see how that's a healthy thing. But the traditional industry doesn't treat their animals like you and I would. It's just not designed to be that way, sadly. And that's a whole conversation that we, if you know, I would love to have you back on the show and we can talk even deeper about it than the 30-minute podcast that we do. Because I think it's something that our country is beginning to understand more. I think this pandemic that we've gone through has made us understand things more. We're learning to eat healthier. We're learning to look for other reasons to take better care of ourselves and also identify that we're not the only life force that's here on this earth. We have animals that share this earth with us. And I, like you, agree that we shouldn't exploit that in any way. Mm-hmm. So that's phenomenal. So I wanted to, before we switch gears and talk about your Miss USA experience, is share, if both of us could share some tips or tricks, how to eat healthier, how to eat more of a vegan lifestyle, and how to find products that are not just cruelty-free, but also vegan. So of course, you're the guest. I would love for you to go first. I'll just add value where I can.
I would say the first thing, starting with your diet, is to consider the things that you like the least. So for me, giving up cheese was like the easiest thing, which I've heard so many people say that cheese is the hardest for them. But for me, it was a piece of cake to get rid of cheese. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just removing the things that you already are like, meh, about, and then the things that you love. Like I love stir fry, like Korean barbecue kind of stir fry was my favorite kind of thing. And so I started to create a really great version of that at home. So when I would think to myself, I'm really craving a non-vegan meal tonight, I would make that in my own version. So it would really curb those cravings. And then as far as cruelty-free and vegan products, so just quick to explain the difference, a vegan product means that there are no animal ingredients within it, but a cruelty-free product means that the product itself and the ingredients were not tested on animals. And right now, China is, I believe, the only country that requires products to be tested on animals across the board. So any item that is sold in mainland China is tested on animals no matter what. They are kind of changing that now. So hopefully within the next year, we will see that change. But as of now, that's where it stands. There are a lot of blogs that I get my resources from. Cruelty Free Kitty is the biggest one. And then Ethical Elephant. I go to those two blogs for everything beauty and skincare related. And then also Cassandra Bankson on YouTube is really great for skincare. And so she has a lot of knowledge on that.
Love those resources. Thank you. Because I get sent products all the time because of being a podcast host. And, you know, and I hate it when I can't use something. You know, I feel bad, but I also don't feel bad because I don't want to use something on my face that isn't an ethical product. Mm-hmm. So those are great resources for our listeners who are trying to not only nourish your body, but nourish your skin, because that's the largest organ that you have. So you want to make sure you're putting something on your skin that's going to not only make you feel beautiful and moisturized, but also something that's ethical, that's also going to feed your skin and fuel your soul so that you are, you know, you're healthy. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give a couple of hacks, just a few things that I recommend if you're on I love those resources, and I'm going to put those in the show notes and post those in social media. But I talk to a lot of people that are on a budget, and I don't know how you feel about this too, is if people are looking for things that are on a budget, a lot of vegan items are extremely expensive. So I recommend, when you can, getting a cold pressed organic coconut oil. And I use that quite a bit for in the shower, that you can use that. If you have short hair, you can even use that to wash your hair, believe it or not. I have long hair, so I can't do that, but I do get, there's a product, and it may not be on your list, but my last ethical vegan that was on my show recommended Aveda, and I've been using Aveda products, and I think it's a product that many people know that they can get, that is something that you can use that's more mainstream, but I'm sure there's better products out there that you could recommend. And then I'll use coconut oil for my skin, because for me, it's all about having the purifying water that is, you know, distilled or filtered, and then coconut oil, organic, whole press. And it just does so great for my skin. You can even use it with essential oils and maybe a little bit of coffee grounds for an exfoliant, so that you're using something that is pure and good for you. And that's a good hack, beauty hack that I can give that is also budget conscious. And then I was going to suggest, when you mentioned Korean barbecue, I was going to suggest a couple of things. I'm not a lover of overly processed plant-based meats, like the fake meats, but I still love the occasional Impossible Burger or Beyond Meat Burger, like once per week. And they're really good transition meals for people that are trying to do a meatless Monday. And then I use jackfruit for my barbecue. I just had that last night. So that's a really great, people are like, what? And you just have to know how to cook it. And I'll put like maybe a recipe or something. Maybe you could share your Korean barbecue recipe with us. And it's a great way to have something that tastes yummy, tastes like a nice Memphis type barbecue. And I do that with some homemade coleslaw, and it's phenomenal. And it just gives you the taste, what we crave when we're craving non-plant-based foods is we're craving fat and we're craving sugar. So you can easily find healthy replacements for that, because that's what our body is just craving. And if you want to be more heart healthy and take care of yourself, I think that Marissa and I have some great suggestions for you. So I love that. I would love if you'd post that recipe.
Yeah.
Any other hacks that you would like to get, or suggestions or resources?
Well, I would like to jump in on the skincare part. And as somebody who has had very severe acne and terrible skin for a very long time, I actually had to do Accutane. Mm. I will say that coconut oil and essential oils and coffee scrubs are very dangerous for people with sensitive skin or people who are acne prone. So, you know, we all do what works for us, but that's something that I have learned going to a dermatologist for about a decade. Coconut oil is comedogenic, which means it can potentially clog the pores. For some people, they love it. It does wonders. But for people, especially acne prone, it's really harsh. Same with essential oils. It's not recommended by dermatologists to put that on your skin, because it is so, it can be so intense and irritating. And then coffee scrubs, they are different sizes around, so they can create micro tears in your skin, similar to like that St. Ives scrub. So, mm-hmm. you know, I want to say for people who are acne prone, maybe have sensitive skin, that may not be the best route for them, but everybody to do what is best for them. But just the acne sufferer inside of me cringed. I was like, oh, essential oils, I'll cry.
I definitely don't put that on my face. I can't do that. I can't do essential oils anyhow on my face, because I break out. I get rashes really easily, or I break out very easily and get hives. So I can't do essential oils on my face or my neck or anything that's near, you know, your thyroid, because I have hypothyroidism. But I can use it on my body. I do that on my body, and I just do very minuscule, like a drop, not even that, like a drop in a whole tub of coconut oil, just to make you smell good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like the coconut oil on my body, just because if I use anything else, I do sometimes will use other oils that I've tried. I've done some avocado oil. I've done, I'm trying to think, what is the oil that I like the best? Argan oil. And I don't know if you're able to use an argan oil, but I've used argan oil on my body and my hair. I'm allergic to jojoba, so I can't do jojoba oils.
Oh, interesting.
It's weird how everybody's got like something that causes them to break out. And it just causes me to have like little hives on my face. It's strange. But those are the things I use. I use them very, very lightly because my skin is uber sensitive as well. And during, you know, it's funny that you mentioned acne because I never had acne my entire life. But during COVID, wearing a mask, even though I was very careful to, you know, brush my teeth on a regular basis. I'm a 2 or 3 or 4 times a day brusher, believe it or not. I floss and then I would use a different mask every day. I still got maskne. I still broke out because of the bacteria that you carry within your mouth and your teeth that's just naturally occurring. So anyway, I say that because I'm extremely overly sensitive. So I've yet to find a product that, I mean, honestly, I've yet to find a product that I truly love for my face. So I would love for you to share what you use since you have sensitive skin and you know the cruelty-based vegan world.
Sorry.
Can I hear your doggy? Hey, doggy. Yes,
my sister decided to play catch outside right as we started this and my dog went.
I love it. I love your recommendations for the face because as someone who has uber sensitive skin, oh my goodness, I can barely use anything. My dermatologist finally said, just use Cetaphil. And I'm like, that has a lot of ingredients in it. I don't know how I feel about that. I've recommended it.
Cetaphil is also not cruelty free as well.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, it's what they recommended. And everything makes me break out on my face now because I'm so sensitive. So I'd love your recommendation.
Oh, well, I guess it's very hard. I'm going to literally pick up my computer and walk into my bathroom.
Okay.
So let's see. Okay. What do I even have in here? A product line that I really like and that's super affordable is The Ordinary. I also use the Inky List. Those are each at Sephora and Ulta. If somebody wants to go a little bit more of like the natural route, Pacifica is a really good line. Yes. A Cure is a really good line as well. But I would say the biggest things that I go towards are The Ordinary and the Inky List in terms of a cleanser. Mm-hmm. But then I'm really into using actives because I'm not only acne prone, but very, very prone to hyperpigmentation. So I'm currently using things like Glow Recipe, niacinamide, and a vitamin C serum from Maylove. That's Maelove. A vitamin C serum is really difficult to come by on a quality one because vitamin C is so unstable, but I heard amazing things about this specific one. So if anyone listening is looking for vegan and cruelty-free vitamin C that's stable, Maelove, Maelove, is amazing.
Thank you. I love that. That's a good recommendation because I was going to ask you what you thought about, you know, vitamin C serums and different vitamins that you take. And, you know, I love another product, but I haven't researched it like you have because I'm not an activist like you are. So I'm learning a lot from you is that I've used some of the Mad Hippie vitamin C that you can get at Whole Foods.
Uh-huh.
And I, from what I've seen, it is a good pure product and I really do like that. And then I have a friend that started her own company and it's an organic product called Maeva Beauty, but it's brand new. And she does a vitamin C oil that I absolutely love. I'll send you the information and maybe you can give it a thumbs up and let me know. She's very ethical in her research and is an organic product. And I have fallen in love with that, but it's very simple ingredients, which I think are important. And I love Ordinary. I forgot that I do have a hyaluronic acid that I got from Ordinary that I do use that I absolutely love. And that is something that I highly recommend as well. So maybe I'll just venture out and get more of those products because I've heard great things and that you say so too. So that's great resources for our readers that are trying to be more conscious, more health conscious, but also put back into the environment and be more sustainable and taking care of those animals and our environment. So that's fantastic. So let's shift a little bit. So I've given some great recommendations, and I appreciate that. If you have more, please, please share. I'd be happy to share all of that. I really want to have resources for people because it's important to you. It's important to me. And I'm obviously still learning because I started out more plant-based and now I'm becoming more ethical. And it is a transition. I will tell you that is not easy and it does come over time. And you know, right now I'm in the middle of that transition. Whereas I buy vintage, if I'm going to buy anything that might be a product that would be inappropriate to you, but I buy vintage and I don't buy anything new that is a product that's been maybe a non-vegan product. So my goal is to also maybe share some vegan products that are out there for like shoes and handbags, if you have those resources as well. But we'll come back to that because we only have a few minutes left and I want to make sure we get this information. Is you are Miss Montana USA, which congratulations.
Thank you.
Is quite a feat. And I know a lot of our listeners are pageant girls. And so we really truly look up to you, not only for speaking your mind, your passion, your authentic voice, but also sharing that passion during your year, even though it was a very difficult time for you. So why don't you share some of the difficulties you had because you spoke your voice?
Well, I would argue that even though pageants present this kind of fairy tale fantasy, at least that's how I perceived it when I started competing. It was like, oh, if you win, your whole life is going to change. You're just going to get everything you could ever want. Go to these events and you get to change the world, yada, yada. So I had this image of what I thought pageants was going to be. And then when I won a state title, I realized that the majority of it is honestly sponsors. It's talking about products and it's promoting products. And especially during COVID, where we couldn't go to any events, we were only focusing on promoting products and making, you know, TikToks and videos and all of that. And I realized that so many of the products and our sponsors were not cruelty-free nor vegan in any capacity. And like we would be sent fake lashes that were mink. From actual minks. Yeah. And I would have to say, like, I'm not going to promote these, or we would be sent shoes that had leather soles. And I think you brought up a great topic in whether or not it's better to buy new vegan products or vintage non-vegan products. And that's a whole nother conversation. But new leather products to me is just, you know, it's not something I can really support. So that was my biggest struggle, was being sent all these products and having to talk about sponsors and things that I just didn't believe in. And it led to a really difficult relationship with me and like my pageant family. And it was a really big struggle. And, you know, there was a moment where my directors were like, we're going to read you the contract again so that you understand it. Because, and this is a quote that they said to me. So, you know, and it really sticks to me. They said, Marissa, you are going to Miss USA as a brand ambassador and not as an activist. So if you go to Miss USA and they hand you a pair of leather shoes, you need to put them on and you need to smile about it. And that was really hard. And so my dream and my fantasy of what pageants were, honestly, were essentially crushed in that it was never about me. It was about me smiling with products. And I know that that really is really sad and that sucks to hear, but I just wish that, you know, I want people to understand that pageants aren't this fantasy. They are a business at the end of the day. And it did so much for me and I don't regret any of it. But going in and having very intense morals and ethics can really get you in a difficult position. So just be prepared for anyone listening.
Yeah, I can see how that would be that way. And it's, you know, maybe you're speaking your voice and your truth. And maybe, you know, those of us that want to speak more of our truth. And that's what this is all about, right? Is change doesn't happen overnight. We want it to happen overnight. But even since 2004, when I first became plant-based, I've seen a change. I've seen a shift. I think we're moving towards the betterment of how we treat animals, the betterment of how we shop products. Maybe this is an opportunity for those designers that are out there that have to appease the masses. So I see both sides of the coin. they have to appease the masses, and they also have to run a business. And I think, you know, and I've never done any of that. I don't know what it's like to run a fashion business, but I'm assuming that there are certain things that are more expensive, and definitely anything vegan is a lot more expensive, as we know. Maybe what you've done and what you said and speaking up for yourself and being an advocate for change, that down the line, we're going to start seeing more vegan products, more pageant shoes, more pageant gowns, everything that's going to be more vegan, no silk that is in the product, because silk is also a non-vegan product. And you see that so much in gowns for pageantry, right? And I am very much against that. And, you know, I really wholeheartedly believe, because there's that other part of it too. And it's another topic of conversation. And again, it's what you believe in, everybody's different, but I also am a sustainable person. So I believe that what we already have on this earth is enough. Yes. And that if we can buy vintage, buy something that's used, pay it forward, donate items, buy something that's what I try to do. I'm not 100% because I'm not a perfect human being. I'm just not. Nobody is. But I do believe that if you can buy something that's already been made, then you're not adding to the trash and the bulk and the unnecessary things that are in this earth. So maybe something will come from what we believe, and maybe even I'll evolve and you'll evolve even more to where we're doing better and we're able to transmit that message to people so they understand. Because I just think there's some people out there that are good. They just don't know. They just don't know any better, or maybe they're just trying the best they can. So I'm a firm believer in just do the very best you can, even if it's just one day a week or 1 hour a week, and, you know, make that change that you want to do, like that you did, that you evolved, and, you know, you're standing tall as an activist, which is phenomenal. And I'm so glad that you got to compete at Miss USA, and that is going to take you so far and open doors for you. And I know it's difficult, because when you're pushed into the limelight, regardless if it's pageant or TV or film or community, whatever it is, you're always given a choice, and you made choices. And I think that is phenomenal to stand up what you believe in. Authentic Voice is you're actually my very first interview since I changed the name of my podcast. And the reason I changed it is because I want to be able to give a voice to those who have something they need to say, or they are trying to find their voice, or maybe they just found their voice. So I applaud you so much, Marissa, for everything that you've done. And I know that you had opportunities and challenges throughout your reign, where not only did you have to be an ambassador, but you also had to deal with maybe not as many as you weren't popular, in other words, because of what you believed in. I think it was hard for you, especially representing Montana, correct?
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure how I feel about the popular word for it. There was a group that really hated me. I think with that, you know, like a lot of cattle ranchers really hated me. Like the Montana stock growers deliberately attacked me. But at the same time, there were so many people who were like, hey, I'm vegan and I just haven't told anybody, but it's awesome that you're a vegan and you're being as loud as you are. And there is a group of vegans and animal rights activists, and the environmental scene is really quite big and very strong in Montana. We care a lot about the earth and nature and everything. And so I was just really trying to bridge that gap and understanding, you know, how we're also destroying the place that we love so much. But it really, while I had a lot of negative noise, I had a lot of positive noise as well. That's so amazing. I am very thankful for that.
That's amazing. And I think that's really all it is. Again, this is not about shaming anyone for not doing what we believe. It's about giving people opportunity to learn more about why you are vegan and why you an activist for animals and how your year was. And I think that is such an amazing thing to be talking about, because, you know, I really do believe, and that's what I'm working towards, is to be better at what I do, because I really believe it can heal your body. I can believe it can heal your soul, and I can believe it can save the planet. So thank you so very much. And on the side, we didn't get so much time, you know, we only have so much time to talk, but I do want to share that you also, you know, do so many other things, that you are a DJ, you're a writer, and you're a singer. Are you living in Los Angeles now, or are you still in Montana?
Yeah, I'm in LA right now.
In LA. So you're a performer. And so you're being able to share your gifts here in a metropolis. So how can we follow you? How can we listen to your music? How can we, you know, follow your activism and all the things that you're doing to make this world a better place?
Oh, thank you for asking. So I'm actually a really terrible millennial, and social media is not my biggest forte, but I'm very active on Instagram, and that is at Marissa, M-E-R-I-S-S-A _Underwood. And I do have a YouTube channel that I recently started, and that is my name, Marissa Underwood. And those are really the biggest two places that I share everything. Yeah. So, but I am very active on Instagram.
I love that. Well, you definitely have to follow Marissa and her journey, and maybe even hopefully, you know, find some more resources, because you've studied it even so much more than I have. You've studied it and you've provided such great resources for our listeners if they want to have a more vegan lifestyle and ethical resources to be able to take care of their skin, their body, their hair, their whole being and this planet. So thank you so much for your time and your talent and all that you believe in, because it's people like you that are making a difference in our world. So I applaud you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have an amazing day.
Thank you. You too. So nice chatting with you.
Well, hey guys, I wanted to give a shout out to one of my very favorite people, Bria Sharon. She was a guest on my show a couple of weeks back, so make sure you go back and listen to her episode. And she is a holistic health practitioner, and she has suffered from so many things, including hypothyroidism. And that's something that I suffer from. And it's something I was diagnosed with about 10 years ago, and it caused me to gain about 15 pounds. And I just have the toughest time shedding that weight and having the energy to do all the things that I do in my life. And I'm a busy gal. I have this podcast. I'm a writer. I'm a coach. And I have a full-time job that I love. I'm a wife. I'm a mom. And a best friend to so many people. So I'm a busy gal, very involved with my church. And the way that I keep saying is by eating a very holistic diet and exercising and doing the best that I can. But you know, sometimes a gal needs a little bit of help. And Bria opened my eyes when I met her. And when we talked, I was so impressed with her and the things that she's overcome through the proper diet, proper exercise. She has really made a difference in my life. I've started working with her, and she helps you get your health back, your body back, and to not only feel better and look better, but to find the underlying root cause to your body's diseases by eliminating toxicities and replacing deficiencies. And if you are like me and you're wondering why you do everything right, you exercise, you eat right, you meditate, you breathe, you have work-life balance, but still you don't feel good, or you still have the weight on, well, that's me. So Bria Sharon has used her experience, her life's experience, her integrative health experience, and she approaches that with diet, exercise, stress reduction, toxin removal, rest, emotional balance, supplementation, and a successful mindset. She does all of that helps you eliminate your body and your beauty inside and out. And I love that, because that's what we're all about, is beautiful people being beautiful on the inside and beautiful on the outside because they're beautiful on the inside. So I want you to check her out, because if she's helping me, she can help you. It's BriaSharon.com. That's BriaSharon.com. And if you log on, you'll be able to receive more information as well as a free gift because you listen to the show. So I wish you beauty. I wish you health. I wish you wellness. And thanks so much for being a listener. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure to go to your favorite podcast platform and hit subscribe. By subscribing, you help me become connected to so many more people internationally. If you can, I would love if you would rate and review my podcast, because that also helps support our mission of bringing love, healing, and everyone's beautiful stories to each and every one of you each week. If you would also like to learn more about my beauty tips and our guests and some inside secrets to beauty, please join my newsletter. All you have to do is go to janicemcqueen.com. You can sign up for my newsletter and also join my free Facebook group. Thanks so much for listening and have an amazing day.